The Black Hat Security Conference in Las Vegas is always where the security research community surfaces its most alarming findings, and this year's headline is genuinely alarming in a specific, technical way. AI is now operating inside live cyber attacks, not as a planning tool, not as a code generator that attackers used beforehand, but in real time, making decisions during the attack itself. What researchers demonstrated is that AI agents can be deployed inside a cyber attack to adapt dynamically to defensive responses. If a network defender blocks a particular attack vector, the AI identifies alternative paths without human direction. The attack becomes autonomous in a way that wasn't possible before. The speed advantage this creates is significant. Human defenders operate on minutes to hours timescales. AI-assisted attacks can iterate on seconds to milliseconds timescales.
This connects to what we discussed earlier about Iran's drones using AI-assisted targeting. The underlying pattern is the same. AI as a real-time coordination and decision-making layer that amplifies the attacker's effectiveness and narrows the defender's response window. In cyberspace, you are already dealing with asymmetric speeds. An attacker probing for a zero-day exploit could work for months. A defender had to respond in hours. AI on the offense compresses the attacker's work further, while the defender's response timeline hasn't changed.
The concrete implication for enterprise security and for critical infrastructure is that the response playbooks that security teams have developed over the past decade are calibrated to human-speed attacks. They need to be fundamentally re-engineered. Automated response is no longer a nice-to-have. It's the minimum viable defense posture. And automated response at speed creates its own risks. Automated systems can also make errors at speed.
Trump signed a memo this week authorizing offensive cyber operations against foreign criminal organizations, a separate but adjacent development. The executive order essentially gives U.S. Cyber Command and relevant agencies a broader mandate to preemptively target ransomware groups and organized cybercrime operations that have foreign state connections or safe harbor. The legal framework here is genuinely complex because many of these groups operate in gray zones between pure criminal enterprise and quasi-state actors.
And then there's the story from Acton, Massachusetts, that I think deserves careful, measured analysis rather than the sensational treatment it's going to get in some outlets. A 17-year-old, Arjun Aravind, was arrested Wednesday after a manhunt following the discovery of two bodies, his mother and brother, in the family home. Prosecutors allege he used ChatGPT to research the killings. Marcus, I want to be precise about what we know and don't know here, because the "I made him do it" framing is already circulating, and I think it's wrong.
You're right to flag that. What prosecutors are apparently alleging is that the suspect used ChatGPT as a research tool, the same way someone might use any search engine, to look up information relevant to committing violence. This is meaningfully different from AI facilitating or enabling the crime in any direct technical sense. The harder question is what responsibility AI companies bear when their tools are used in this way. OpenAI has extensive content filtering designed to prevent exactly this kind of use. If those filters were bypassed, that's a security failure worth examining. If the information was obtained through what the model considered benign queries, that raises questions about how these systems are designed to reason about intent.
Here's where I want to be careful about proportionality. People have used libraries, search engines, and encyclopedias to research violent acts throughout history. The singling out of a specific tool, in this case, ChatGPT, reflects where public anxiety is currently focused rather than necessarily where causal responsibility actually lies. A 17-year-old who commits a double homicide has done something for which the criminal responsibility is theirs. And the explanatory weight we give to the research tools they used should be proportionate to the actual causal contribution those tools made. That said, the case will almost certainly drive legislative attention to AI content filtering, and OpenAI will face pointed questions about what their systems should and shouldn't provide access to. Those are legitimate policy conversations.
It's a reminder that every technology powerful enough to be genuinely useful is also powerful enough to be genuinely misused. The policy response to that reality has never been simple.